The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back in, everybody, to hour number two of the early line. Kevin Walsh and Dane Martinez, cock-a-doodle, doing it on a Wednesday morning here in mid-May. Remember, April showers bring May flowers, and that's kind of in the bigger sense, given because we had a pandemic in April, and in May, we're starting to come back to business. You know, the NFL has been conducting its business, right, Kevin? Everything from free agency and the draft. You know, this is also times when, like, the competition committee meets and we see other tweaks. Remember, when the competition committee met a month or two ago, we realized that there would be no more instant replay on pass interference, which was something that they tried. They knew it wasn't right, and they adjusted. Another rule that is in place in the NFL that we've talked about a little bit, we talked about last week, that there are proposals to adjust, is the Rooney Rule. Kevin, and for those who weren't with us previously, what the Rooney Rule is, by the way, Rooney is for, you know, Dan Rooney, the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the kind of like flagship franchises in this league. What the Rooney Rule states, because, you know, African-Americans in the head coaching ranks were so underrepresented, that when this Rooney Rule came out originally, what it said was, now there's a requirement to interview at least one candidate of color, right? And the thinking behind this was it would get, you know, high potential African-American coordinators opportunities to impress, right, in interviews. And we can have a long debate on if it worked, if it didn't. I know you continuously bring up the name Eric Bieniemy, and if he is deserving, why hasn't he gotten the opportunity just yet? I think about other African-American coordinators or coaches, guys like Leslie Frazier, guys like Jim Caldwell, guys like Byron Leftwich, and others who are being successful in roles. And originally, there was this proposal about incentivizing the hiring of African-American or coaches of color, right? Including maybe even getting like a third round pick or a boost to your third round pick. And we thought, that opens up Pandora's box, right? You could kind of manipulate that. If I'm the Chargers, then I'm going to hire and fire Anthony Lynn every year to a one-year contract, right? And get me a little boost or whatever the case may be, because it was also for like some front office people, right? So maybe I'd find the lowest stakes role of that, the assistant scouting director, and I'll be damn sure I hire a Puerto Rican for that role so I can get my draft pick, okay? So we were a little bit worried about how that could be manipulated, but there is a new proposal now. Okay, and it looks like this one is gaining steam, that instead of having to interview one minority candidate for a head coaching role, the new way at it is that you're going to have to interview at least two, okay? And that this will also extend to offensive and defensive coordinator positions. Now, on one level, Kevin, and I know we talked about this and it's like weird how we feel about this. On one level, I'm like, oh, well, of course, that's just the end. And we're in a, you know, harmonious society, right? Bull. And I understand that. But I do think, you know, having two candidates, at least there's, you know, how are they competing and stacking up against others? And the other thing I'll say that maybe sounds roundabout here, but I do think is a positive for this plan. In this version of the plan, the NFL is doing this not by incentive, but by policy. Okay. Right. And I think that's a better way to do it. Because if you remember when we talked about it, the idea of it being the incentive is part of what I felt icky about, right? Because we said it could be manipulated. Now, with it just as a requirement, as a policy, this is what you got to do. I think there's less manipulation at play because we're not trying to get the competing the incentive of the third round pick. So I'm okay with it being more of just like a documented policy as opposed to an incentive. But I don't know if it fully gets us there, Kevin. What do you think?
It's helpful. Two is better than one in this scenario. And I think the fact that the rule was one, probably then in a lot of instances, was a situation where the person of color was coming in as a token person of color.
Token candidate, right. Just, we would rotate these dudes around.
Yeah, right. I think now you should be able to deepen the pool, hope that some of these teams could potentially, in the process, maybe come across
someone they weren't
come across someone they weren't expecting. Maybe, okay, look, I don't know if you're ready for a head coach. How do you feel about an offensive coordinator?
Right.
Or a quarterback's coach position. Something along those lines. I do think the other thing is, it was very, you know, because I think a lot of times we focus on the head coach specifically because we evaluate head coaches more in sports than we do general managers, right? Yeah. Like, I think I'd have a significantly more successful time naming you coaches than general managers of all pro sports teams.
Sure. Yeah,
so, but I do think that the change that could be more impactful would be at that general manager level. And because then they won't sit across from the candidate as a token person of color.
Well, that's, you know, when you get past the glass ceiling, right? That's what the glass ceiling means, whether it's for women or minorities. And think about that. You're now starting to see, in the ranks of, like, former athletes, right, wanting to get into ownership, right? Exactly. Whether it's Derek Jeter, whether it's Michael Jordan, whether we hear about it from Peyton Manning, wanting to not only be the coach, but in a position of power. I'll even go so far as to say Jay-Z, Alex Rodriguez, right? Ooh. They want to be in those positions of power, not only, you know, used to be thinking that the coach was like the leader and the ceiling. And now, no, there are other levels for it. And I think you're right. It makes it harder to just have that token interview if you needed one, right? Because there's guys out there that are legit that are these kind of retread also-rans, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, sure, I'll give Hugh Jackson an interview. Yeah, sure, I'll give Marvin Lewis an interview to check that box. It's harder to do that token aspect when you need to, right? So I do think that is an interesting thing. You know, the other thing I'll say about this, I want to give a shout-out to Bruce Arians, okay? Bruce Arians has not only been known his entire career as like a player's coach, right? Mm-hmm. That can relate to people. But he is, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks right now, I think it's maybe the first time in history that both the offensive and defensive coordinators are people of color. Okay, Byron Leftwich, the OC, and Todd Bowles, the DC. Remember, Tampa Bay was also one of the first teams to hire a female coach, okay? We know there's one of the 49ers on the Washington football team as well. So just big shout out. I tip my cap to Bruce Arians. You know, he is trying to give those opportunities in a natural, organic way. One of the other head coaches that is a person of color right now in the National Football League, Kevin, is Anthony Lynn out there in Los Angeles with the Chargers. And it came out yesterday. I think the quote was that he and the Chargers, quote unquote, absolutely considered signing Cam Newton. But, He then backed it up with kind of, you know, all the right coach speak about Tyrod Taylor, about their number six overall pick, Justin Herbert, but putting it out there that they, you know, definitely considered Cam, right? And he was one of their options. We also heard recently another, what do you know, head coach of color in Washington, Ron Rivera, said, oh, yeah, we considered Cam, you know. Mm-hmm. So I find it interesting that the head coaches of color are putting out there in the narrative in the public that Cam deserves to be considered still as a starting caliber quarterback. Connecting any dots on that one, Kev?
Well, it's tough, man. It's tough. It's good to see, you know, Rivera's old coach say positive things about Cam. That's probably the biggest endorsement that he can get. The Chargers specifically is a little frustrating because I think I'd probably view the Chargers as the third best team in the AFC if Cam Newton was their quarterback.
He was their quarterback, sure.
But because
even
of the
Colts, huh, Kev?
Yeah, I think they'd we'd have to go through the schedule, I guess, right?
Yeah, fair. And we will sometime down the road.
I think the Cam Newton thing is really, really it's frustrating to see Cam not have a job, but I can't stress this enough, man. This is a scenario where it had to do with there being more quarterbacks than jobs.
Supply.
I talked about this when, you know, months before we were on In-Game Live doing next quarterback bets, and I said, someone's getting left out. Someone. Now, I thought it was going to be Teddy B.
And at that point in time, you also probably didn't necessarily assume that the market would also include, you know, Jameis Winston. Or Nick Foles, perhaps, right?
Yeah,
it's like, supply and demand. There's only so many chairs in the game of musical chairs until when the music stops.
Yeah, because actually at that point, we kind of thought that Cam was going to be back.
Right.
You know? So,
or, for example, we thought Chicago was an option at some point for Cam.
Exactly.
We didn't think Foles, that that's how it was going to go down there. Or Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton or other names where the that, you know, are now in the market as options.
Yeah, and it's become now almost impossible to find a right now fit, I think, for Cam Newton. You know, if we play the game, how many quarterbacks would you rather than Cam Newton? How many do you view the same?
Right.
Like, and then how many is Cam Newton?
Upgrade on the starting quarterback situation, I think, for half of the league, if not more.
Right. And which is, I totally buy that without having done the exercise in my head thoroughly. But, you know, again, that's just not the reality. Like, for example, right? The Bills. I think a lot of people would say they'd rather Cam Newton than Josh Allen. Now, Bills fans, though, probably wouldn't. Ultimately, though, the Bills are never making that move. They're trying to move forward with Josh Allen to see if this works, to see if he actually is their franchise quarterback. That's a team that made the playoffs, okay? Mm-hmm. Is he better than keeping in the AFC East? What we've seen from Sam Darnold thus far?
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, there's age and contract things in
but that's the thing. And that's why it's really difficult to find that spot for Cam. And I guess, you know, this is why, as we've talked through it, even now he's opened it up. Okay, I'll say, you know, I will take a backup role. I'd like to find myself on a roster. But we've talked about when the Jaguars bring in Mike Glennon. Well, they don't want that guy back. Cam is way too good of a backup. So this is really a scenario
because the level of pressure it may put on QB1 or the amount of money you may have to spend to bring him in.
You're looking at a scenario where the inevitable happens, an injury happens.
That's right.
And Cam comes in, and it's a matter of timing to figure out how quickly they're able to make this decision.
Yeah, absolutely, and we will see about that. Remember, that's why Big Ben sort of put it in my eye, because when you talk about Cam may need to wait for injury, I always thought Pittsburgh could potentially be a spot. You know what, Kevin? Later on this week, let's play that game. Do you want Cam or our QB1? I think that's a good one to kind of see this, because I do believe that more than half the league would think he is an upgrade over their current situation. What we're going to do here, though, is we're going to get into our roster reset, Kevin. The Houston Texans are our team that gets spotlighted today. We'll get into it, you know, over the course of this next hour. I got to tell you the truth, though, Kev, going into it. You know, you and I, we did a lot of draft coverage here for Sports Grid. You know, I did 9 hours of live coverage. We did draft grades, draft previews. There are 32 teams in the NFL, Kevin. Literally, if you just name 31 of them, I'll tell you right off the tip of my tongue, like, the biggest player that they drafted, the biggest headline of their draft haul. When you ask me the Houston Texans, it is the one team I truly have to think about to name one player they drafted. I'm going to give you the entire commercial break, and you tell me what comes to your mind as a knee-jerk reaction for the headline of the Houston Texans draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody, to the Early Line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. And we're going to give you the edge, all the edges you need, on the Houston Texans. And, you know, I started by saying, Kev, that this was kind of like a nondescript draft. You know, I didn't have a knee-jerk reaction to, like, who the players are that they got. But, you know, the way I want to start this is because what we always say, Kev, is, you know, your draft haul includes trades, right? And so if you think about that, the Texans really made the biggest move of the offseason by trading away DeAndre Hopkins, an all-pro wide receiver. That is part of this draft haul, right? Because technically, I guess they got an extra, what, third or fourth round pick for it with David Johnson. So, you know, this draft is also considered David Johnson in for DeAndre Hopkins. What it also is, remember, because the Texans didn't have a first round pick, that went to the Miami Dolphins, if you remember, as part of the trade last year where these Texans acquired Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, okay? Now, Stills is still a piece of this wide receiver room. Tunsil is a good left tackle and was signed to big money already. So talk to me, because I know you've been deep into the Texans draft. They go and get, you know, the horned frog on the defensive line, Ross Blaylock, with their first pick. You know, they do get another offensive lineman, which, to be quite honest, I see that as a position of need for them. Whether they have Tunsil or not, they have to protect the asset that is Deshaun Watson. How do you think they did in the offseason, Kev?
Terrible.
Okay.
I mean, they traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
They still didn't have a first-round pick.
Yeah.
How is that possible? Like, if part of the justification for getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins was...
Yeah.
We were able to acquire a first-round pick, and we felt like in this draft that was important. Okay, I still disagree. Okay, they still weren't able to do that.
Yeah.
The fact that David Johnson coming back in the return is right. part of the justification is right. absolutely ridiculous. I love David Johnson. I love David Johnson.
Yep.
Like, was one of my favorite players in the league.
I hear you.
But he's been injured.
Yep.
And we've seen just the importance of the running back position. He's right. overpaid.
Yeah.
And it was a plus to bring on David Johnson. They were thinking about cutting him. The same way the Bengals had to cut Dalton because everyone was like, you're going to cut him. The same way the Panthers had to cut Cam. These are quarterbacks. And the Cardinals got rid of David Johnson and brought back Hopkins.
Yeah. You know, I think you're absolutely right here. And here's the comparison I'll make. We talk about how Aaron Rodgers must feel now that instead of giving him a weapon when his window was open, they went and drafted the heir apparent. Think about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, in the last year of his deal there with Houston, right, on the rookie deal, when we've said many times before, is go time, right? When you can do this before the chickens come home to roost and you have to pay Deshaun Watson, because guess what? You're going to have to pay Deshaun Watson, right? Not only the Packers, what they did was, like, didn't draft the wide receiver, didn't give him an extra weapon. What the Texans did was take one of the best weapons in the NFL and say, you know what? Deshaun, I know this is the time where we need to commit to you and prove to you and give you everything we need. We're going to take your best weapon, one of the best weapons in the NFL, and ship it out of town. I think all roads lead back to Deshaun Watson here for this team. He is a franchise quarterback, and they took one of his weapons away. I agree with you. This is a horrible offseason, in my opinion, and the other part of it is there's now drama around Bill O'Brien because of what he said is the reasons about this DeAndre Hopkins thing. You know, baby mamas and not being on the same page. That doesn't sound like a good environment that if I was one of the remaining free agents out there, that I would want to go to Houston.
Man, Bill O'Brien stinks. All right. As a GM, the dude is terrible. His coaching, you know what? I think sometimes he actually gets a little bit of a bad rap. I think he's done decent in Houston. Right. Now, he... But again, like, part of his GM stuff is the fact that they signed Brock Osweiler. Like, he's not been a good GM.
$8 million noose around the franchise.
Like, you were talking about, like, oh, what was the moment of their draft? Oh, it was Bill O'Brien being caught on the ESPN broadcast, flipping out at the Lions because they couldn't get a deal done, and then having to draft the player that the Lions wanted, and he's just now a Texan. Like, he's not a good GM. And moving on from DeAndre Hopkins in this manner, like, Dane, they were up 24-0.
Yeah.
24-0 on the Super Bowl champions. Now, yes, in some ways it was fluky because Kenny Stills is the most open a wide receiver's ever
been. Like a punt.
And there was a punt
there,
I get it, okay? I get it. But that team was there. Okay, Deshaun Watson, when we have conversations of ranking quarterbacks, is comfortably inside the top eight. And for some, would be significantly higher in that. And instead, the offseason that Bill O'Brien has put forward led to us having lines to bet on Deshaun Watson's next team.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, all last year, and you know, me being the vocal minority of it all, Kevin, I was saying at the beginning of the year that the Patriots are now done and the mantle is being passed to three African-American quarterbacks in the AFC. Their names are Patrick, Lamar, and Deshaun, okay? And Deshaun will keep these Texans relevant as long as he is healthy and in that uniform. He just will, in the same way I believe Russell Wilson will do the same thing for the Seattle Seahawks, in the same way Patrick Mahomes, you know, all these African-American quarterbacks do. But I digress. So tell me, given what may be, whatever you think about this locker room, whatever you think about the leadership, whatever you think about David Johnson as the kind of, the terms of the deal that sent D-Hop away, Houston Texans win total is 7.5. Okay, this is a team that did, you know, Kev, they won the division last year, okay? They won the division. They have Deshaun Watson, right? They have J.J. Watt. You know, they have brand-name talent, okay? Mm-hmm. A playoff team. If you look at the graphics here, their win total is 7.5 with a little juice to the under. Their playoff, yes, no. The favorite is no, Kevin, at -175 to -180, all right? And they are 3-1 choice to win their own division. Third choice in that division behind teams we've already discussed in the Titans and the Colts. What are your initial leans on ways to make money in the futures market on the Houston Texans?
So I have it right here in front of me. Bill O'Brien took over in 2014. 9-7 his first 3 years. Then it was the year of Watson. If you remember, they played the Seahawks and the Patriots. Watson looked like he might have been MVP in his rookie year. It's crazy. Got injured, 4-12. Since then, two full seasons of Deshaun Watson, 11-5, 10-6. They've won the division both times. In fact, he's won the division four times since 2014. This is where I talk about Bill O'Brien sometimes being hard done by in terms of the coaching stigma around him, because they have had success in the AFC South. And I've actually said to you,
even that sacrificial lamb in wild card round all the damn time.
No, 100%. 100%. And I've said to you countless times that I expect myself to be lower on the Texans. But there's something to be said about Deshaun Watson. And this offense as a whole. I mean, you know, what to make of this wide receiver core of Cooks, Fuller, and Stills?
Right.
I mean, it looks like me when I played Madden like 04 on the computer, and I just ran PA streaks the whole time and had McNabb throw to Dante Stallworth. And it was it always worked. Like, hey, Vertz, one of you are going to win. Like, and then if you just hope David Johnson can, you know, remain the talent that he once was.
Right.
If there's enough juice on the offensive line, you know, how many times are we going to talk about a bad offensive line? Like, okay, but it's been that way forever. The defense, to me, is the tipping point of all of this. My instant reaction when you give me that win total, though, is to ask you what Watson's odds are.
That's right. Good thing I'm ahead of you, and I brought it up on the screen because we've been doing that, right? What are the corollary bets if it turns up roses, you know, for that team? We talked, for example, yesterday about Frank Reich as coach of the year, if they're successful. Jonathan Taylor as rookie of the year, if they're successful. We talk about things like Derrick Henry for MVP or Carson Wentz for MVP, if this team is successful. I've been making the point about these dynamic young African-American quarterbacks, and I think I told you once already, five of the top seven choices for MVP are African-American quarterbacks. You know the names: Patrick, Lamar, Russell, Dak, and Deshaun. And Deshaun is 17-1 to win the MVP. He is tied with your boy Carson Wentz as the sixth choice, right behind Drew Brees at 16-1, but with shorter odds than TB12, who's 18-1. What do you think about Deshaun Watson at 17-1 for MVP? I'll tell you what, though. If this Texans team wins this division, right, and is a playoff team, gets a home playoff game without DeAndre Hopkins and with J.J. Watt, you know, missing five games like he will, then Deshaun Watson is definitely an MVP candidate, Kevin.
Yeah, I look
in
at
that universe where they go 10-6, you know what I mean?
That's
without
the
top, Watson's an MVP candidate.
Look at the names that you laid out there.
Yeah, he's it goes Mahomes, one. Lamar, Russell Wilson, then Dak Prescott, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz at the same level as Deshaun Watson.
He is the one whose team has the lowest win total.
Yes.
That's a big deal, actually, right?
Yes.
Like Mahomes is, if the Chiefs don't have the best record in the league, if the Ravens don't have the best record in the league, they're going to be hard done by. A 10-6 season where Watson is just like top five touchdowns,
Watson
top five
lead
yards.
Them to it undisputedly.
Now, the thing is, he'll actually benefit, potentially, from just having to win close ones, not blowing people out. Like, that's the intrigue there with that Watson bet, where if you wanted to bet them,
Superman, Kevin.
Exactly.
Superman.
Like, if you wanted to bet them yes to make the playoffs, I think that if they make the playoffs, he's got a great, great chance at winning this MVP. Because also, and I learned this lesson with the Heisman, and I don't know if it applies the exact same way with the MVP in the NFL, but I feel like it does, where it's very difficult for the favorites to win these awards because it's difficult for them to hit their actual expectations.
Correct.
Like, I know that people thought that Trevor Lawrence was going to throw 85. He basically, they thought that Trevor Lawrence was going to do exactly what Joe Burrow did.
Right.
And forget what Joe Burrow did. Trevor Lawrence didn't get invited to, if I'm not mistaken, invited to the Heisman Finals. Because Trevor Lawrence never flirted with doing what was actually this anticipated idea.
Yeah, expectations is a very good point.
So that's where, to me, like, Mahomes, is he going to throw 50 touchdowns again? And he might. And if he does, he's going to win.
Right.
But
no, that's interesting. There is a delta, right, in the kind of perception of the Texans, 7.5 win total, and the potential of where Deshaun Watson could take them, specifically potentially to the playoffs, where it's +145 right now to get there. The over-under is 7.5. You know what we do next here on the early line. When we come back, we go game by game with Kevin and see if there's any daylight to invest in the Houston Texans. Come on back. That's what we're going to do here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back into the early line. What we are doing right now with our man, Kevin Walsh, as we go game by game, we are digging deep in to find value in the Houston Texans. Remember, they got plus money to make the playoffs. The books expect regression from this team that won the AFC South last year. Could it be because D-Hop isn't there and all that production? We're going to go into game by game. We're also going to think about these fantasy diamonds and fugazis because, Kev, there's a lot of targets up for grabs in Houston. I know that for sure. But let's go into their schedule, okay? You know how we do it. I'm not going to tell you how you're doing. But are you, by the way, I'm sorry. I don't think I formally got it. Are you leaning over or under the 7.5 for the Houston Texans?
I am, before we do this.
Yep.
Weirdly leaning over.
Fair enough.
Despite if you told me the number was 8.5, yep. Would have told you under.
But you think they're going 8-8?
No, that's the problem. It's that the 7.5 just scares me for a team that has won. Deshaun Watson's won double digits in both years as a starter. He's won the division both times as a starter.
Okay.
And 7.5 feels so low that I'm like, I feel gun shy now.
You know what it's interesting is, it seems like the moral of the story with this year's Houston Texan is we don't really like them.
Right.
But damn, Deshaun Watson is a beast, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
If he's starting, you know, if he's not concussed, the Houston Texans are live in any game. Why? Because have you seen what that man can do? Right? Like, that's the answer. Like, that's literally, remember, even in the playoff game against Buffalo, you know, he made some ridiculous plays when on the other side of the ball, you know, Josh Allen is trying to lateral in overtime or throw 40 yards downfield across his body. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson is making, you know, MVP plays. And that's why I understand the trepidation on the Houston Texans. But let's go after it, okay? Week one. Kevin, they're the sacrificial lamb in Kansas City to open the season, right? Remember that. And by the way, I always let you know, Houston, they've got two primetime games. They are both on the road in bad spots. One of them is the season opener in Kansas City as Reed and Mahomes hang a banner. I think they go down there.
Oh, absolutely. They won that game last year as well against them, didn't they?
They did.
In the regular season.
Yeah. So there were back-to-back weeks, okay, where the Chiefs lost games with the same exact blueprint. I remember it. One was to the Indianapolis Colts when Marlon Mack ran for 120 some odd yards and scored a touchdown on them, okay? The other game, then what the Houston Texans do? They ran Carlos Hyde, who got 100 yards and a touchdown against them, providing the blueprint, if as it were. All right, so they lose to Kansas City, right? All right. But now, with a mini bye, with the mini bye, right? Home opener on the mini bye. Yeah, Lamar comes to town. It's the Ravens in week two.
Misery. I mean, the Ravens last year embarrassed them.
This now, though, home opener off a mini bye. Does that change it for you at all? Do you think they could beat Baltimore?
It gives them an awesome shot.
All right.
But I still can't give them that win.
All right, so they're 0-2. Then they go to Pittsburgh for week three.
What a miserable schedule.
Yeah. Oh, it don't get much easier. Keep going.
I
have them 0-3?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know they're going to finish with four wins.
Here's the thing. Now, remember, think about what the buzz will be about the Texans if they are 0-3 without D-Hop, with Bill O'Brien trying to plant the flag, with Deshaun Watson in the last year of the deal. You know,
right.
Think about what this team is going to also feel like if they're out the gate 0-3.
If they're even 2-1 out the gate,
yeah.
Watson is moved up to like favorite in the MVP again, unless like Mahomes has thrown five touchdowns a game.
Good point. All right, so week four, they get back home, it looks like, and they have the Vikings come to town.
Oh, good. Only easy games. I'll give them a win.
All right, that's their first win of the season. All right, they get a little respite here, okay? They stay at home for Jacksonville.
Yeah, okay, they can win that one.
Remember, tomorrow we're doing Jacksonville, and we may have to put up the odds for 0-16, but we'll see. Then they make a road trip in division to Tennessee.
Wow. Lose.
All right, you got them 2-4 after week six. Then they're home. They come back home, and Green Bay comes to town.
Oh, boy. Off the Jags, I'll give it to Green Bay.
All right, so you have them 2-5 after 7 weeks heading into their bye, okay?
They
get the bye week eight, then on the road after the bye in Jacksonville.
Oh, that's good. I mean, off the bye, they should be able to beat the Jags twice then.
All right, so you have a win there. You have them getting to 3-5. They stay on the road, back-to-back road games. They go to Cleveland.
Tough spot. I'll lean Browns.
Okay, so that's a loss for them. You have these Texans 3-6. then they go back home, and waiting for them is Bill Belichick in New England and Jared Stidham.
Give me the Texans. I do not think the Patriots are good.
Them 4-6 after 10 games. Here's the final haul. They go to Detroit.
Oh, I think I gave this to the Lions. So let me try and
remember. This is their prime. Their other spot. This is Thanksgiving. So this is a short week. Okay, this is a short week on Thanksgiving.
Traveling noon.
Yeah.
All those things. Look at the Lions.
All right, so you have that as a loss. Then they come back home. And remember, we talked about this quirk of the schedule. They now see the Colts two times in the next 3 weeks. Okay, it's home for the Colts, then at Chicago to see your boy Nick Foles, then at Indy for the Colts. How did they get through that three-game stretch?
Okay, so mini bye home for the Colts.
I'll give them
a win.
Okay, at Chicago, at Indy.
And then I'll have them drop both of those games.
So you have them going 1-2 in that stint, right? So you have them at 5-9, okay, with 2 games to play and 7.5 as the total. Those 2 games are home games, though. Okay. One against the Cincinnati Bengals in week 16. I'm assuming you're going to give them that one.
Yeah.
And then they finish the season at home. They, by your count, are 6-9. And the Titans come to town.
Tough spot, man. I'll give them this last week win over the Titans.
Really? With the Titans, who you think are playing for something. 6-9, pissed off Deshaun Watson, who may be in a swan song in Houston.
But you I don't love it, but I gave it to them.
Going 7-9. You have them going 7-9. So I ask you again, their win total 7.5. Their playoff, yes, no. A 7-9 team does not have their quarterback as the MVP. Okay, no. So what are we doing here to bet on the Houston Texans now that you've done the exercise of going game by game?
Yeah, no, I still feel good about the Watson bet because so if he battles Mahomes week one, even in a loss, that'll be fine, right?
Okay.
They then have a mini bye for the Ravens. And as much as I'm not giving them that, right, they are home. They got a mini bye. It's the best chance that they will get to win that game. Then they're going to travel to Pittsburgh. And again, tough spot. Pittsburgh last year, one of the best defenses in football. Big Ben back. But if he's able to go out there and beat that Steelers defense, I really believe that he can be the favorite to win by week three, the MVP. You keep going through the schedule and, you know, they're hosting the Vikings, they're hosting the Packers, and I've always had this back and forth. Do you want your toughest games at home or on the road? Because on the road, you've got no chance. But now, if I'm losing home games, I'm 4-12. And it's right, like, no. You know what I mean?
When I look at the opposite division, I look at that, and I would rather have the good teams of that opposite division come to my place.
Of course. It depends how good of a football team you are, is basically what it comes down to, right? Because if you're the Texans, like, I'd rather play the Lions at home, because I feel like that's a win, than the Packers, because I might lose now both of those games. But it all depends. Like, in this, you know, like, I play this out, I have them 1-3 versus the NFC North. I don't love the NFC North, though.
Right.
So that could turn around. I think I pretty much can't come out of this with a confident bet on this team's win total, because 7-9 is right there with this 7.5.
Well, I should bet no for playoffs then. What about no playoffs then?
It's,
you know, for them, no playoffs is minus, it's between right now minus 175, minus 180.
Yeah, I think I was starting to get in this direction, but once you said it, Dane, it almost locked it in. And now it's almost going to be impossible to not think about Russell Wilson when I think about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I have predicted the Seahawks now for a couple of years in a row and watched them win 11 football games. Like, no, I don't think Watson's Russell Wilson.
I think that's an apt comparison, though.
But there's,
because, you know, Seattle never gave him an offensive line, right? Houston hasn't given Deshaun an offensive line. Seattle is now only starting to focus on, you know, the DK Metcalfs and the Tyler Lockett's of the world. Yeah, I think, you know, in the same way that Houston was like, eh, Russell will take care of it, we'll be fine. You know, Houston is like, eh, Deshaun's got this.
Right, which is a dangerous proposition.
Yeah, it is. Damn, you know,
I think if you're Deshaun Watson, though, if you're able to go out there and you're able to have a big time season, I could see it, man. I really couldn't. I think too, like, when we think about this wide receiving core, to me, even David Johnson's best asset is as a pass catcher. Mm-hmm. I think too, prop bet wise, and these aren't, it's not a prop bet that's, I don't think, listed, but to lead the league in passing touchdowns, I'm sure Mahomes is the odds-on favorite, as he should be.
Yeah,
but I'd take a look at Watson because of what that group is, Stills, Cooks, and Fuller. It's just a lot of guys getting down deep. When they catch passes, they catch big. And, it's a lot of touchdowns, I would think, from that group. So, to me, I think I will make the bet of Watson for MVP. Because it feels like the safest, most logical play that I can pull out of this Texans exercise.
Now, that's interesting. I personally might consider that no bet on the playoffs because, you know, there's other teams that I do think are more on the upswing.
That it's a minus price against Watson.
Fair.
That's where it's hurting me a bit.
I hear you. You know, I just think that this team is got the arrow pointing in the wrong direction. We talked about the DeAndre Hopkins trade a lot. They also traded for a wide receiver, this year. And it's Brandon Cooks of the Los Angeles Rams. You mentioned playing Madden and just being straight vert routes, right?
Yeah.
This is the problem I have with that deal, okay? I tell you about the XYZ affair and the role all the time. Brandon Cooks is a good receiver who is an over-the-top, deep-threat skill set that stretches the defense and has had injury availability issues. Mm-hmm. Will Fuller is a good wide receiver whose role is to stretch the offense over the top, plays that role well, but has had injury and availability issues. The problem I had with Brandon Cooks going to this team was not the player, but was the fit. Because now Cooks and Fuller are doing similar things. They're the similar style of wide receiver. So you're right. It's like a Madden game. Unless it's vert nines all the way, I don't understand this. Kenny Stills is also a deep threat kind of wide receiver. So I wonder what this is going to look like. I wonder what it's going to look like for fantasy. That's what Kevin and I are going to talk about when we come back on the other side of the break. It's the Early Line giving you the edge. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to the Early Line here on Sports Grid. We've been looking at the Houston Texans, a team that, you know, it's tough to really take a firm position on because it sounds like to me, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, if we were to do so, it would be a fade. But the part that, you know, makes that really, really tough is the idea that they are led by Deshaun Watson, a Superman legit MVP candidate, right? So if you tell me Deshaun Watson plays 16 games, it's going to be very hard for me to think that he's not responsible for a couple of wins, right? But the problem is, Kevin, is that I don't know. I fear for the man's safety. I really do. I've been saying this for the last few years. Do you remember, Kevin? I think at this point it was 2 years ago, where there was one game where Deshaun Watson was not able to ride the team plane to get to their road game because of his, like, cracked ribs or whatever it was, and they were worried about him traveling with the team and the air pressure. That's what we're talking about here, Kevin. Like, they literally run this dude out here and then don't protect him. I'm worried for Deshaun Watson's health, but he's a bad man, Kevin. So now let's look at the diamonds and the fugazis. And I'm going to give you one here to start. And I say all of this about Deshaun Watson, right, Kevin?
Oh, boy.
My fugazi for the Houston Texans, in a fantasy sense, is Deshaun Watson. And here's why. Okay, when we talk about, again, my policy on quarterback is to wait on quarterback, right? So when we're talking about any of the top five or six quarterbacks, and Deshaun Watson right now is going as QB 5 or 6 in fantasy drafts, okay? You know about Lamar Jackson, Patty Mahomes, the other three names. Oh, by the way, oh yeah, it's those African-American quarterbacks. It's Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Dak Prescott, who are the only other people I've seen in rankings above. Oh yeah, another one, Deshaun Watson. But I digress here, okay? My strategy is going to be to wait. So I don't think the value is there with Watson at that level. So relatively speaking, he's a fugazi. Also, think about these other quarterbacks I'm telling you, right? Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott. None of them lost their number one option, okay? Lamar Jackson has the same crew coming back along with J.K. Dobbins and Duvernay. Their offense got better. Patrick Mahomes didn't lose, didn't gain. Yeah, awesome. Dak Prescott, you know, got a first-round draft pick, right? Kyler Murray, oh, yeah, he got Deshaun Watson's boy. You know, I mean, so even a guy like Russell Wilson, I can make the case, has an emerging DK Metcalf. Didn't get worse. The weapons for Watson got worse. So if Watson is going to be at that level statistically for fantasy purposes, he's one I'm more willing to let someone else draft. So for those reasons, relatively speaking, Deshaun Watson, for fantasy, relatively speaking, is a fugazi, someone I'm going to forget about for my teams.
So where exactly is it? What, like, round pick is it that Watson is coming off for?
I don't have that right now. Okay, because I have them in the ranks, but I hear you. And generally, it depends, and this a lot of times depends on if you're a home league or an expert league, because the theory of waiting on quarterback is now approved and accepted in the industry. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes is still getting drafted in the first round of home leagues. So, Lamar Jackson's still getting drafted in the first round of home leagues. But I would say, you know, call it round 5, round 6.
I think it's a spot where I can consider Watson. The question I have for you is, because it was actually something I was talking about with some people over the weekend, is do you think there comes a point where two QB leagues or even super flexes actually become more prominent because of how the quarterback position is viewed these days?
That's a fair point. I think that is a fair point, and that's why, I remember, what do I always say, Kevin? Know your settings. Okay, so in a two-quarterback league, the idea of waiting on quarterback is less so. So then the idea of needing to take, because you got to get two, right? So then I'm a little bit more comfortable spending the draft capital it would take to get a Kyler Murray, to get Russell Wilson. So, you know, with the idea of two quarterbacks or super flex, it lessens the concept of waiting on quarterback a little bit.
I played in a two QB league for the first time last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, someone invited me, like, two quarterbacks. I'm like, I'll give it a shot. I actually co-own the team with my brother because, he's someone I trust when it comes to fantasy very much so. And what happened is the league the prior year, I think, ran as like a 6-man league. And I think maybe 8-man, but that's why I think maybe they did the two quarterback situation.
But so even then, you're still getting a quarterback 16 who's like completely viable, you know? So, quarterback 16 right now is Baker Mayfield.
Right.
I'll wait. I'd be the 100% absolute last person to draft my second quarterback, and I'll have Baker Mayfield as my QB2. Fine.
So, So now when we joined, it opened up to a 12-man league.
So now it's 24.
So now it's 24 quarterbacks. So the interesting thing is the rankings that I think we used Yahoo, they don't change based on your settings. So we were able, I think we had the first.
It's the urgency of you needing to grab that position because of the supply and demand.
But I think for some, for whatever reason, was the rest of the league didn't know. So we got Mahomes with the, with I guess what would be 211. We got Mahomes. And then also because we were so confident in Lamar, we had Mahomes and Lamar.
That's awesome.
And, it, you know, it worked out. We were able to win the league. Bless you, Mike Boone, for doing absolutely nothing that last week of the season.
You know, I'll just give you the flip side. Okay, I'm in an expert league, the Flex League of Experts, run by former colleague Jake Seeley. And it's a two-quarterback league. I waited. I was the last person in the league to draft my first quarterback, and I had to start two quarterbacks. I wound up with Carson Wentz and Phillip Rivers, and I made the semifinals. You know, so, I mean, it's possible to do it either way. And then, you know, I'm benefiting from my, you know, third-round pick where the other people are getting Mahomes or Lamar. So, you know, there's ways to skin it either way. Who's your Fugazi, though, for the Texans?
It's difficult. So what I need is need the ADP of the whole wide receiver group because it is very likely that my Diamond and Fugazi will come out of this trio.
Relatively speaking, okay, so fair enough. By the way, for context, DeAndre Hopkins is wide receiver 5, right? Me looking at the Houston, I'm still scrolling, brother man.
Oh,
will
boy.
Fuller is first. Wide receiver 35, so that's a wide out 3. Mm-hmm. Brandon Cooks right behind him at 38, right? So in essence, wide out 3 as well. And then, you know, you got to scroll a long way. And I imagine it'll be Kenny Stills, but, you know, that's flex territory or bench territory. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the market viewing Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller as back-end wide receiver 3s.
Yeah, so I guess then from that group, my diamond remains Fuller and my Fugazi will be Cooks. I personally put stock in chemistry, in comfortability.
I like that.
Knowing one another.
Yep.
And honestly, Will Fuller is as good as Hopkins when Fuller's actually healthy, production-wise. Like, it's super weird.
With the benefit of DeAndre Hopkins on the other side of the field.
a zillion percent. Yes. But basically, the Texans, when they got Fuller, like, he ran a faster 40 than DeSean Jackson. They've got Watson. He just goes. I mean, I remember his rookie year when, like, it was Watson's rookie year. I think Fuller scored a touchdown every game.
Right.
Like, Fuller is going to produce. He is a weak turner.
If healthy, but yes.
Yes, if healthy. He is a complete game changer. To me, I think you could justify him in that wide receiver 2 range. It's difficult to find your balance, Dane, of availability and obviously being injured.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I have no doubt about it. If Will Fuller, the weeks that Will Fuller is a full go, he will always be a wide receiver 2 or better.
No, I understand that, and I'll make a point here. Remember how I always say check your settings? For fantasy players, if you're looking for something new, there's a format out there called Best Ball. Okay,
oh, yes.
What it means is you just draft your team, and you ain't got to worry about, do I sit this guy? Do I start this guy? And guys like your boy in Philly, DeSean Jackson, guys like Will Fuller are perfect Best Ball players because, and you know this well with like a guy like DeSean, there's going to be weeks where guys like DeSean or Will Fuller go 3 catches for 32 yards. There's also going to be weeks where Will Fuller has 6 catches for 163 yards and 2 touchdowns because he caught literally 2 55-yard bombs, okay? And the problem is those are the weeks he's going to be on your bench. In a best ball format, though, that don't matter. What they do is just take what would be your optimum lineup. And in those kinds of formats, Will Fuller is a great best ball player. Brandon Cooks kind of would be as well. So I did want to make that point. We only got a couple of minutes left, so it sounds like you're fishing in that wide receiver pond for value. I got to tell you, my diamond in the rough. And it's so weird, right? We've been loving Deshaun Watson, yet he was my Fugazi. We were giving shade to David Johnson as the haul back, but he is my diamond in the rough for the Houston Texans. He's going right now as RB20, which is a mid to back end RB2. And out of all these people that are in that level, he has the potential to be a top five back. Our former colleague, Mike Florio, put something on Twitter yesterday. You'll see it here now. The number one scoring running back in fantasy football has not been a repeat person 10 years in a row. Okay, it's been a new. So, like, for example, CMC was the number one scorer. He ain't going to be this year. In that list is David Johnson in 2016. Wow. So if you think if he's there at RB20, I think he could severely exceed his value. So for me, David Johnson is a diamond in the rough. You see this list, man. You know, and every year you would have been like, oh, it's going to be this guy again. It was CMC. Then it was Saquon. Then it was Gurley. It was David Johnson. It was Devontae Freeman 1 year. Le'Veon Bell 1 year. Then all the way back to guys like Jamal Charles, Ray Rice, and Arian Foster. So there you have it on our Houston Texans. Kev, we only got 2 minutes left. I got to show you something. You know how there's no fans in soccer matches right now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, check this out. I believe it is South Korea, okay? Mm-hmm. South Korea soccer team, guess what they are putting in the stands to look like fans?
What do we got?
Sex dolls, Kevin. Oh, sex dolls, okay? And you see the pictures here, all right? These are, I don't know how else to say it, sex dolls in the stand as mannequins in South Korea in soccer. And then here's the catch. They also apparently, on like whatever they're wearing or the signs they're holding, are advertisements for porno sites, Kevin. So let me ask you, what do you think? You know, fans are getting teams, leagues, countries are getting creative with having, you know, fans in the stands. And how do we create that environment? What do you think about the South Korean approach of putting sex dolls in the stands as fans, Kev?
I think the sex dolls thing, unlikely, but they're probably onto something with the advertisements. They are always trying to find creative ways. And also, I don't know about what they're advertising, but they're always trying to find ways to be, you know, be able to get, you know, new advertising. It's, again, it's another way to create revenue. We're always talking about revenue, Dane.
Yeah.
A couple, you know.
Absolutely. I'm reminded of the Belarusian soccer club that lets you pay for a ticket and then slap up your Photoshop picture on a mannequin. But taking it to the sex dolls is a completely different level. Well, think about that for the rest of the day. Tomorrow, Kevin, we're going to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars as we roster reset the AFC South. Until then, have a good one. From Kevin, I'm Dane. This has been The Early Line right here on Sports Grid. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.